Right, I'm joined on a line by an absolute legend, a rock star, Francis Rossi. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Oh, we're getting there slowly but surely, my friend. How's it all going?
It's going very well. It just keeps going, doesn't it? You know, you sort of lie down at night, like when you're a kid, thinking, oh, I don't want to go to sleep now. And then in the morning, you don't want to wake up. And then you wake up and you get on with it.
Get on with it and do it all again.
I said to you before we went on air, I'm in this strange hotel, which is a converted small church. So it's all a bit wacky modern French.
Oh, goodness. And I'm probably a bit spooky at night. But, yeah, I was reading. I do some research. You know, people just think I come bumbling on and chat away. But I've done some research. It says you've been in the business 48 years. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Does it feel like 48? That's for starters.
Well, at this time of the day, yes, I suppose. And for some reason, the last couple of years, I've reached 60-something, 66, and sometimes in the middle of the set, I think, 66. And in the mornings, I think, and other times, it's all fine, and then you pass a mirror and think, oh. But, yeah, I don't know, you just keep going, don't you? You wake up and get on. Some days are great, some days are medium, some days are, oh, my God! You know.
You think to yourself, why did I say I was going to do that many nights on a straight run? You wanted to rest in the middle.
That's exactly me, to be honest. I get enthused and we talk about what's happening in the future and, yeah, this is good. And then you realise, oh, you actually got to do it. And as I said, sometimes it's really enjoyable. The last show, not last night, I think we were in a place called Clam, this huge castle that's owned by this family, Clam. We've done it two or three times over there. And there's these two or three shows you do and the kind of a package goes through. And it was tremendous. And you get those times when, I mean, I don't mean it was tremendous. I'm not sure what the public felt. It went very well. But there are times when you think, oh, I enjoy this so much. And those nights you don't want to go to sleep because you wake up the following day and it's gone. And one of the things about this business, and I've learned over the years, is, you know, some people do a post-mortem and beat themselves up. And you shouldn't do that. But the same chalk, you can't take on a fabulous gig to the next gig. I can't go in tonight and say to them, thank you very much. We were great last night. Good night. You have to do it again. And that's one of the things that's kept me going since I was younger. And at the same time, one of the things that's very frustrating about it.
All right, so the enthusiasm is definitely still there to be able to, you know, to go on stage and, you know, knock yourself out.
Well, I like to think it's enthusiasm, but I suppose there's a fair amount of insecure show-off. I think most of us, lots of us, my contemporaries, like, look, it's just the music and it's very intellectual and so on. But there's something about us that goes, watch me, mother, and mum, I'm up here, we're not a good mum.
Yeah, look what I'm doing.
Yeah, exactly. You do it too. We have to do that. And I realise each day, as I've gotten older, and this is the story about my very first gig with Alan Lancaster, I was waiting for his mother. I would not go on till his mother got there. Well, I've only recently realised, because I'm frightened. It's not nerves. I'm frightened. I get on. Okay, that's fine. And, you know, like we'll arrive down at the show today about 3 or 4 o'clock, and I'd like to go straight on. And you think, oh, let's do it. And then I enjoy it, and it's not, or I don't enjoy it, or whatever. It's not as good, and you move on to the next one. But I've become to realise that most people's lives are like that. We're all sort of coasting along here.
You're just seeing what gets put in front of us, and you're one of the lucky ones who've carved out a career in music, stretching 48 years, and, 44? Is it all 45 albums now, isn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. I forget.
But, you had the Stripped Bear one, didn't you? That was an interesting front cover, wasn't it?
The which one?
The Stripped Bear.
Oh, that, yeah. Our manager does come up with some fab titles. I thought it should have been Acoustic Quo, but it was even funnier than the Quo Stick. But the idea of doing the Stripped Bear and the photograph, each time Quo put an album, or many of the older acts, you say, so I've got a new album, and you go, and? Whereas if you said, Quo got an album, it's acoustic, there's an amount of interest. Then you say, you should see the cover, there's two dickheads on the front with no clothes on. So you go and look again. And then they sell you the Bryan Adams took the photograph. So we are in a world these days about marketing and how you get through. I was saying to Rick last December, we were coming out of Bournemouth International, they call it International Centre, it's funny that. And I remember in the 70s, and people talk about the 70s, but in the 70s, if a chart band was coming to town, it was big news. And nowadays, wherever we go, it's like seven nights a week names are going through. We were in a place in Munich last week. Jackson Brown was the night after us. Tom Jones was the night after that. And I forget, Charles Aznavour, but loads. So all the time, it's now very, very intense. But a logical progression for this business, and same with radio. There are a few radio stations in the 70s. Now they're and that's the same wherever you go in the world.
Yeah, does it make your job easier then, playing the music, because they're so more accessible to people out there?
Maybe it does. It's accessible, but obviously it's become less valuable, if you like.
Less,
you know, all my generation say that when someone bought an album, or you went into a record shop and said, have you got the new Thin Lizzy? The guy said, well, it's out in 3 weeks. Do you want to order it? Lovely, I'll put it down. You got it, and you walked home with it, and cherished it. Well, it's not like that now. It's even when they, if you like, going to the supermarket occasionally, very occasionally, with the wife. I remember recently, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, looking for something in cereal, and I just could not believe the amount of cereal. And whether it's me or my generation, you look for a few seconds and then you bamboozle. You say, I'll leave it.
I'll take the cornflakes, what I'm used to.
Yes, exactly. But I do remember when I was younger thinking that the future was going to be so modern, there'd be lots and lots and lots of. And now we have lots and lots and lots of. We're kind of, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mum, I don't know.
It may have been better when there wasn't quite so much.
I think so. I think we're all saturated somewhat. But the world is, you know.
How's the acoustic thing that you've done? Was that something completely different?
That was completely different and really enjoyable. There is definitely a point at the moment, as I said, at 66 physically. The quo gig, we've always said, has been very physical. You have to commit physically. And sometimes after a really good one, your body really puts into it. In the morning, you go, ouch. The acoustic, you didn't get that. There was a bit of hand and wrist stuff because of they're difficult to play. But I just remember walking on thinking and being really apprehensive and then sitting down, and maybe a quarter of the way through the first song, it was like, yeah, there's something else. Whether it's because it's a change as good as a rest, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I found that really, really enjoyable and almost full circle to where I began, wanting to play acoustic guitar and be the Everly Brothers. I never really wanted to play lead guitar, that willy willy willy, blah, 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 stuff.
Yeah.
I kind of had to learn to somewhat. But it was most enjoyable doing the acoustic thing.
So what was it most like actually on the stage there? You know, just you and the two guitars, you and Rick, and no one else behind you. Think, oh, it's just us here. If we make a mistake, we
took the entire exactly what's on the record. We took out, which is another thing we could have done that, if you like, for financial reward, it would just be me and Rick and acoustic. And but I think that's cheating everybody. We took out the six string players, the percussionist, the accordionist. We took out John Sun as an extra guitar. So there was there was, I think, 12 of us on stage. So it's very expensive to take out, but most enjoyable. I look at that and think, oh, I'd like to do some more of that. One has to remember he's coming alive now. You can hear him.
So that's on the back burner. Think, yeah, we're going to have another slice of that. When we fancy it.
I think we really would like to do some more of that. Yeah, as I said, physically, this other thing's beginning to hurt.
Yeah,
and there's just something, a fresh approach to it. When we were talked about the album, I didn't particularly want to do it. I thought, well, I don't get why we should do. But once we started on the tracks, it was like a born-again Christian. It was kind of all, I don't know, it's hard to explain. It was supposed to have been maybe a month or so, 6 weeks recording. I think it was 4.5 months. It was like every time it was like one of those Chinese, Russian dolls. You opened one, it got a bit, oh, there's a bit more in here, there's a bit more in here. But it was so enjoyable to do, so I want to do some more.
Well, that's all right. You're fancying yourself up in France at the moment, keeping them all happy, but you're heading this way pretty soon, isn't you? Newmarket Nights.
Well, I think we're up here a couple of days, and I believe we're going to Cork, up to Cork, back to England, then there's Rochester, Newmarket, I believe, and I just lose track. I look at the itinerary, I think, I put it on my phone these days, you know what it's like.
Look at you, all high-tech.
I put my reading glasses on to see it, so
Yeah, so because it's not the first time you've been to Newmarket Night, is it? And played up there. You were one of the first.
Some years, yes, I think we were, and we played on those concrete steps. It was horrendous. They've improved it somewhat, as with most of the race courses and stuff. I think initially one time we played at Silverstone, and I thought, oh, that's nice, until they told us, well, the reason we want you is to stop so many people trying to get out at once because the police can't control the crowd. So it wasn't that we'd love to hear Crow play. It's because they'll 15,000 people will hang back and... And the same with the race course. It gives them another string to their bow, as it were, to give people a better ticket, a better night out. And it's similar to the shelf in the supermarket. You're adding more all the time, adding more all the time.
Yeah, so what do I fancy? What do I fancy?
Agreed. Yes, it is that, yeah. But again, we do get to be in front of people that may not have seen us before and so on. And that, oddly enough, even at our age, is still... Perhaps people will like us, perhaps we can expand as a group.
Is that what, when you're playing on stage, I think, do you up there thinking to yourself, I wonder how many times these people have come to see us, or you think, these are new people we're playing to all the while here?
Yeah, you do get, well, we know hundreds of the people in the front, and that you get used to seeing those. All sorts of things go through your mind. In fact, there's a point when Rick and I speak to each other in Roll Over, Lay Down. For years, people have asked us what we're talking about. And in the last 25 years, or so, 25 years, in the last 25 years, we're talking about what we're going to eat when we're finished, because we're starving at that point.
Yeah, have you ordered takeaway?
Oh, no, we're looked after.
Oh, you looked after?
We're looked after. We eat at 2:30. In fact, Kim and I will eat, I suppose, pretty soon. Yeah. Eat at 2:30 for a 9 o'clock show. So by the time we get off at 11... You know, I'll bite your arm off if you're not careful.
You're ready to clip the nose bag back on again?
Oh, really? Serious? In fact, quite often in Bye Bye Johnny, there's a break and I say, I'm going to eat something. It's like...
Away you go. So yeah. It's July the 17th. You're heading to Newmarket. I'm going to look forward to seeing you up there. And we'll wish you all the best for another 40 years, do you reckon?
Okay. We just look forward to looking at all the ladies in their fancy dress at those things. It's rather good.
Yeah. Will you do a flutter before you go? We have a flutter. We have a bet. Let's see what nag is going to win you a few quid.
We may do. I think the other guys, we usually do something, but it's kind of, the odds. It's like doing a lottery, isn't it? They keep changing the odds. But there we go. Yeah, probably will, yes.
Yeah. Okay, then, Francis, we'll let you get on. Yeah, I know you've got a busy day.
Sir.
It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And you, thank you. Thanks for letting me waffle on. He can waffle.
Cheers.
Take care.